This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on April 25th, 2013. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We're going to start with 2013-02. We have late submitted documents. Mr. Vice Chairman, do we have a motion for late submitted documents? And then I guess we're going to need another motion because we're going to have an even later submitted document.
I move we suspend the rules regarding timely submission of documents since we have late submitted documents. I don't have my standard language, but I think that sufficiently carries the point.
Okay. The Vice Chairman has moved that we waive the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents so that we may consider, let's see, what do we got submitted late? Agenda document.
Thank you. That's okay.
I know this is what you meant to say. Do we have 1307-A yet? So
no, ma'am.
Okay, so should we wait to include that in the motion?
It's coming, so if you'd like to just do it in one
fell
swoop,
I don't see why not. Can we do it when we don't have it in front of us? Okay, so all right. So the motion includes Agenda Document 13-07-A, Agenda Document 13-15, Agenda Document 13-14. Did I miss any late submitted documents? Okay. Does everybody understand the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay, now we will begin our consideration of Draft Advisory Opinion 2013-02 submitted by Dan Winslow by Craig Engel. And Mr. Engel was in the room. Mr. Engel still in the room? Come on, Mr. Engel, have a seat. We might have some questions for you. But we will begin with Ms. Selenkoff from the Office of the General Counsel.
Thank you, Chair Weintraub. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda Document 13-15 contains two drafts that respond to an advisory opinion request by Dan Winslow. Mr. Winslow is a candidate for the U.S. Senate in Massachusetts, April 30th, special primary election next week. Mr. Winslow asks whether his committee may apply the spouse contribution rule at 11 CFR 110.1I to contributions it receives from lawfully married same-sex couples. Drafts A and B both conclude that the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, requires the commission to conclude that the committee may not apply the regulation to contributions from spouses who are not of the opposite sex. The Office of General Counsel requests authority to make technical and conforming changes to the final draft, and the Commission received four comments on the request and one comment on the drafts. I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. And just in case people were confused, we put out a couple of drafts late in the day yesterday. We were in the process of trying to harmonize drafts, and I think several commissioners felt like we really needed to get something out on the public record. By close of business yesterday, so we kind of put out what we had ready to go at that point and continued to work on coming to some joint conclusion. So that's, with these 20-day AOs, time is compressed, and sometimes we have to do things a little bit more on the fly. Do we have any questions for counsel or Mr. Engel or any discussion on the draft or drafts? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me begin by commenting on some of the comments, which are always helpful. One that caught my eye was filed by Scott Knox, and he makes the point that given that the issue of the Defense of Marriage Act's constitutionality is currently before the Supreme Court, that perhaps the Commission shouldn't adopt an opinion at this time or extend the deadline for the comments or whatnot. I think that makes perfect sense, but for the statute, when someone comes in and asks for an AO, we have to issue an AO in the statutory timelines on this, and we have to answer the question. regardless of what may else what else may be happening in the world. So I think it's a good suggestion, but I don't think we have the power to tread water while the Supreme Court considers an issue, because at the end of the day, the circuit in which the requester comes from, that's the case really before the Supreme Court. That court had struck DOMA, but that decision, as I understand it, has been stayed. So there's not a binding precedent, which brings us to the issue at hand. To me, this is an FEC issue, and the issue is contribution limits and the rather technical regs the commission has promulgated regarding how campaigns and contributors who give money to campaigns get split up, if it's a joint bank account check or whatnot, and it all tied to the contribution limits. So let me state the threshold that there's no question that everyone has their own contribution limit, and there's no issue there. The issue as posed, I think, and this is going to be a question for the requester, I think is posed by the requester, is whether 110.1i permits a campaign to treat a same-sex couple who's married under state law, recognized by state law, as a spouse for purposes of the regulatory language. And the problem is, in one of the, with all due respect to the other, to the Congress, one of the rare fits of clarity, the Defense of Marriage Act is remarkably clear, and it says for purposes of federal law, regardless of what state law says, spouse means what the federal law says it means. And in this case, if you're a same-sex married couple, you're not a spouse for purposes of, I would think, the FEC rule. In fact, the requester has filed a joint amicus brief with the Supreme Court, makes this very point. So I guess the my question is really twofold. One, I think we all agree what the answer is, and I think we agree that we just can't disregard DOMA, regardless of what anyone may think about it on its merits. We're here to do what we do, which is take the law as passed. But two, many requesters are happy with a yes no matter how they get there. Here, in the initial request, you invoked, I believe in the original request, revoked 110.1K, which is, of course, after I. And here, if it comes from a joint account, regardless of marital status, a campaign can still split the money up, so to speak. So whether or not one is a spouse for purposes of the one reg and DOMA and all that, to me, doesn't really matter much for purposes of campaign finance law, because since 1987, the reg has said effectively a yes to your question. Now, there may be a reason why it's been narrowed, but I'm a little confused as to what particularly is in front of the commission, and this is not the first time I've raised this, where I see a request that seems to get narrowed as time goes on, and when you work with the Office of General Counsel, and that it becomes a much more narrow question. So given that I'm seeing an amicus brief, which essentially already answers this question, that DOMA would trump state law, but yet I see a reg that gets you a pathway to yes, what, as a commissioner, am I to do here?
Well, on the amicus brief, that brief was not submitted by the requester here. So
you're correct. I apologize. You're here as counsel for the requester. That brief, I think, was in your individual capacity.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that joint contributions take a variety of different forms. Sometimes you see two names on a check. Sometimes you see one name on a check, and sometimes you see follow-up paperwork, and sometimes you don't. So there are a lot of different factual situations that we face out in the field, and there are probably three different factual situations that we're grappling with here, but the most important one being, regardless of whether or not we have a joint contribution or joint names on a check or one name on a check, you have a regulation that talks about spouses. And that was our question. Can we rely upon that regulation for checks that come from a spouse, regardless of how the payor on the check appears? So the question is, I know a difficult one, and the requester understands the answer that we're seeing here. We were all anxiously awaiting draft C, which we didn't see, but
perhaps the Chief Justice has it prepared.
But it's the opinion of the requester that sometimes what's right isn't lawful yet. And although the requester is planning on depositing these contributions and sorting them out later, we may also be coming back later, as one of the drafts suggests, to see if there is any additional analysis that the Commission could provide after the Supreme Court rules in a definitive way. The requester understands also that there's a big difference between policy decisions and law, and who makes the policy decisions and then who implements the law after those policy decisions are made. You know, he intends to respect as many of the contribution decisions as his donors have, and he wants to treat all of his donors equally. He also understands that it's not the Commission's job to find ways for people to make contributions. And your job isn't to necessarily encourage additional money in politics, but it is, you know, your job to tell us what to do as best as you can. And in this particular case, you have, and you did quickly. And I do want to commend your counsel's office for how quickly they were able to be in touch with us within hours after the request was docketed to ask a couple of questions, and then also for your agency to, as the commissioner noted, get an answer out very quickly. It's not the answer that we wanted. We understand that there are some alternatives that we have with some versions of checks. We are going to work as best we can with this, but we do want, you know, our donors to know that we're going to continue to work for them.
Just one follow-up. Is there any other answer other than the answer that the ultimate conclusion both drafts come to? I mean, looking at the law, I understand your position is it's a tough question, but as a legal question, it seemed unfortunately or unfortunately, depending on one's perspective, as a decision maker, clear questions are always usually welcome, regardless of the unfortunate result. Maybe,
right.
But as a leading practitioner in this area, so I don't see another way. Unless we look at the regs as a whole, we have 110.1K effectively seems to.
Well, remember,
it seems to do this, but in the more narrow 110.1I, when you put it up against DOMA, do we have any other option here?
Well, Commissioner, I would note that much of the instigation of this request comes from donors, sometimes first-time donors, who are not as well adept in the understanding of campaign finance law as we all are and maybe sometimes take for granted. And when they look at a situation and then say, you know, we're a spouse and the spouses next door seem to be doing something, can we? And when we look at the history of the Federal Election Commission, and you have some great advisory opinions that talk about how you defer to state law when you have questions of state law, that those state laws can be helpful. And you also have a nice balance of decisions where you defer to other areas of the federal law when statutes and definitions of other parts of federal law can be very helpful. Those are often in cases where you can look at the IRS code or the Department of Transportation or Fair Labor Standards Act, where you're seeing some very, very specific, you know, guidance in other federal agencies that are very easy maybe to borrow here. We've not seen necessarily a situation where you have a statute that makes a rather, you know, broad pronouncement. And we're all very curious as to how broad that pronouncement is. and how it really applies, and does it, you know, work with state law or does it trump state law? And the donors here saw a regulation that says spouses are allowed to do something, and we're spouses and we'd like to do that, and we'd like to do that because of that particular regulation. And I wasn't able to answer that question as to whether or not they could rely upon that regulation, because at bottom, whether this is a policy question or not, everyone wants to do something that's lawful, and they want to know what their rights are. Sometimes those are hard questions. Sometimes they're a mix of policy and law and federalism, and sometimes they belong to the courts, and sometimes they belong to agencies. But what belonged to the donors and to the candidate was an answer, and you were able to provide one, and a very clear one, with a couple of nice pieces of guidance and a footnote as well. And that's what we're going to have to work with, and we're going to work with that in the field, and we're going to work with these donations and with our donors, and as I said, we hope to be back.
So is that agreement with the gist of my question? There's no other way to go here when you look at where we are?
Not necessarily. I mean, I am not a constitutional lawyer in the sense that I can balance federalism and one particular statute against another particular statute. I would say this, is that we understand the answer, and we know how we're going to have to work with it, but we also understand that there is another answer that's possible, maybe not at this moment, but hopefully equally likely in the future.
Okay. I appreciate those comments and the recognition of the footnote, because when you read 110.1K, that talks about joint accounts and whether one's a spouse or not, DOMA doesn't affect that reg whatsoever. So take the hypothetical, if you have two married couples in Massachusetts living next to each other and the one couple says, gee, the other couple can do that, are we spouses too? Well, I would say 110.K moots that whole issue, and the answer is they are being treated the same for purposes of campaign finance law.
With a joint account.
Right.
But if you see spouses that don't have joint accounts, where the account is in the name of just one of the spouses, you might have a different answer. And when, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jones are able to do one thing and Mr. and Mr. Jones are not, because of the way in which they hold their money, then there's confusion in the field, and that's what we're trying to, clear up. Again, you know, there's a great, great question of equity here, and we understand that the commission's job is not always to find the equities in a situation, but just to give us guidance. And there are a lot of different factual situations out there. There are civil unions and married couples and joint accounts and single accounts. And what we have is a situation where we have a variety of accounts and a variety of donors, and they want to know what they have to do. It would be unfortunate that in order to make the sort of contribution that some spouses have, that donors would have to reorganize their money, create joint accounts that may or may not be viewed as marital property under the particular laws of a particular state. And I think that was part of the difficulty, is saying, does the way in which money is held make a difference here as to whether or not you can rely upon a spousal regulation or a joint regulation? We have some situations where we do have joint accounts, and we have some situations where we don't. You know, the requester wants to be able to respect all of his donors and, of course, raise as much money as he can. And we're going to have to work with this particular answer, and we intend to follow it. But we also intend to watch this very carefully, you know, treat our donors with as much equality as we can, respect their wishes, deposit as much of their contributions as we can, and hopefully give a very, very, you know, clear and maybe more definitive answer in the future when there are more definitive answers by courts.
Mr. Engel, first of all, I should say publicly that Mr. Engel did call me and give me a heads up that this request was coming in. It was not formally an ex parte at that point because there wasn't anything in front of us, but in the interest of full disclosure, I feel like I should say publicly that we did have a conversation. Mr. Engel, sometimes the law is an ass. This is a very difficult, in some ways it's very easy, and in some ways it's very difficult. It's personally a very difficult AO for me to vote for, and I'm going to have to sign it, too, because I'm the chair. I join wholeheartedly in the sentiments of one of the commenters who said they support marriage equality and believe that same-sex couples, like all Americans, are entitled to equal treatment under the law. My job here as a, not as a lawmaker, not as a judge, but as an administrator, is to take the law that I've got and apply it. And unfortunately, I don't think the law gives me any choice. DOMA says that for the purposes of federal law, this is what a spouse is, and we're applying a federal law. So I just don't see any way out. I'm hoping that this is really a very narrow problem that only affects a very small number of people, because I know a great many couples, gay, straight couples, where, you know, one part of the couple, one half of the couple contributes most of the income, and the other half of the couple may be managing the household and taking care of kids, and usually that actually is the person who's got the checkbook. I don't know too many. I know a lot of couples where only one person is providing the most of the financial resources, but I know very few couples where there's somebody that doesn't actually have a checkbook that's got their name on it.
Right.
So I'm hoping that this is, you know, sort of an anachronistic regulation for all kinds of couples and therefore won't have broad application, because as the vice chairman points out, it's under Section K, subsection K, any couple that has a joint account, they can use that. And the commission has not historically and is not going to start inquiring into, you know, who made the last deposit into the bank account. We're not getting into people's family finances and how they order that. And I think in some ways that responds to one of the other commenters who suggested that the commission could declare through an advisory opinion that contribution limitations apply separately to two individuals who share a residence and bank account. I think we actually have a regulation on point, and the footnote, which we're going to offer a small amendment to, makes clear that section does apply to exactly that situation.
Right.
And people who share a residence, people who share a residence in a bank account can use that bank account to make contributions. And again, agreeing with the vice chairman, of course, every individual has their own separate contribution limit. I wanted to make one other comment about another commenter. We did get a comment late last night that asked us to address several other issues. It was an interesting comment, and he raises interesting issues. That one was from Mr. Backer. But those weren't the questions that you asked.
Right.
So we would be happy to address his questions if he chooses to submit his own advisory opinion request, but he can't piggyback on top of yours and say, oh, while you're answering Mr. Engel's questions, could you answer a couple that I've got? Happy to address them, but I don't think we can do it here. I share your hope that we will be in a position to provide you with a different answer at some point in the near future, and I hope at that time you'll come back and give us that opportunity.
I will.
Are there any further comments or questions? Commissioner Walther.
Thank you. I echo the comments of my colleagues. Issue, as we mentioned, it's fairly clear in our opinion that the cases that we cleared, the relevant portions of DOMA unconstitutional, are stayed right now. And if there was any one of them that was in effect, I think we would all take a real hard look at that one. But we just can't see any area right now where there's a judicial declaration to that effect that's in effect. And so that pretty much ties our hands. But come on back.
Count on it.
Thanks.
Thank you. there are no more comments or questions, do we have a motion? Commissioner Walther.
Yes, I move approval of, I'm not sure what was the latest draft number.
I believe it's draft A.
Draft A is modified?
Yes, there have been some suggested edits to draft A in a couple of the footnotes, in footnote 2 on page 2, and I hope we don't have a blue document, but I think we were able to give this on white paper to the press so they'll know what we're talking about. In footnote 2 on page 2 of draft A, there's been a suggestion that we amend the second sentence to read, a contribution from a joint account is attributed in accordance with 11 CFR 110.1K, regardless of the marital status of the contributors, comma, and then quoting from the E&J, since the political committee receiving the contribution may not know whether or not contributors are married, end quote. And then with respect to footnote 3 on page 4, we would replace that with footnote 3 on page 3 of draft B, except deleting the site beginning, see also Perry v. Brown. Those edits.
Yes, that's my motion.
Yes, those edits had been suggested and discussed amongst the commissioners, and that was the last little wrinkle that we were ironing out, which resulted in the two drafts, and I apologize for any confusion that caused. So Commissioner Walther has moved approval of draft A, agenda document 13-15, with the amendments described at the table, and any technical and conforming edits that may be required. Mr. Vice Chairman.
I can almost support the motion. I just have a question about the footnote 3 swap. And this is an issue only lawyers could enjoy talking about, so I apologize to anyone listening in for the real substance of this. But footnote 3 cites Windsor Second Circuit case. The parenthetical says finding Section 3 of DOMA unconstitutional, which, as I understand it, is true. Cert was granted. But then a parenthetical off the cert grant say thereby staying mandate of Second Circuit pending Supreme Court review. Cert granting doesn't stay. Is that, let me ask counsel, is that a correct cite?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. When the Supreme Court grants cert, it automatically stays under Supreme Court procedure.
It does?
Yes.
Okay. Because it stays the mandate. That's why it talks about the mandate, right? Okay. Yeah.
It negates the mandate. The mandate's withdrawn. It stays the case. It stays the decision.
That's okay. So staying the mandate's actually the misnomer. So that's kind of a weird way to describe that case. Would counsel suggest a way? Is that close enough, or is there a more precise way?
It's correct as phrased.
It's close enough. Okay.
Yes.
I think so.
Any further discussion on the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Sorry, Mr. Engel. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you all very much for the expedited decision, too.
You always give us interesting questions, Mr. Engel.
Yeah, that's for sure.